starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts with you. About living with each other, 'cause the future will soon be in their hands. Watching us close, they follow our steps. If we do right, I'm sure they'll understand.
Hello and welcome to Spingle and Friends. It is Thursday, October 1st, 2015. This is Deanna Spingola, and I'm broadcasting from the Chicago suburbs, where it's a little bit windy, a little bit chillier. Please visit SpingolaSpeaks.net to access the audio files of my programs. This site was created and is maintained by a friend and listener. There is a tab at the top titled Your Health Matters, which is a comprehensive list of websites. He also has a wonderful list of Kindle books that have been written by my guest. I hope that you will order your books via this list. Remember, that is at SpingolaSpeaks.net. By subscribing, one will receive an email announcing the addition of all new audio files. Please also visit ScreeningSandyHook.net, where one may subscribe in order to read the concise bits. Well, actually, you don't need to subscribe. You can just visit the site, and you can read the concise bits of information that I post. I rarely address many of the claims that people make about Sandy Hook, whether it happened or whether it was a hoax. It really does not matter what we believe about Sandy Hook. However, we do need to comprehend, to understand exactly what local and federal officials are enacting in the way of legislation that affects all of us. That is why I named the book Screening Sandy Hook Causes and Consequences. Big, big cover up in Connecticut, folks. Anyway, please also visit my website, Spingola.com, to see the guest schedule for my radio programs, including dates, times, and call-in numbers, plus information about my four books. Join others in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website or by visiting spingola.chatango.com. Call into the program with questions or comments at 646-787-1915, but please wait until we open the phone lines. My Twitter account is twitter.com/Deanna Spingola. Our guest today is John, the one and only John Kaminsky. One may find his articles at renegadetribune.com/author/Kaminsky. And anyway, welcome to the program. Let's make him live here. John, welcome.
Hello, Deanna.
How are you?
I'm as well as I could possibly be.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, I'm so happy that we could have a program together. We haven't had one together for quite some time. And so I'm just delighted to be talking to you again. And of course, I always get your emails with your articles, your wonderful articles, which, again, can be found at renegadetribune.com/author/Kaminsky, and I think it's great that you're writing for that that website.
Wait, was that a question? I was looking somewhere else.
Oh yeah, I said I think it's great that you're writing for Renegade Tribune.
Me too. I'm very happy with the company I have. It's really, as far as I'm concerned, it's all top of the line people saying relevant things. Not that I didn't like it on The Rebel, but there's a bigger crowd at Renegade, and if more people would listen to it, we'd have a better shot at overturning this artificial reality and this fake government that we have. We're still a long way from being able to do that, but the crowd is getting larger, the choir is getting larger, so I'm very happy to continue to sing to it.
Yes, yes, I'm delighted that you're there, and I agree with you. They do have a nice lineup, and I really appreciate Kyle Hunt and the things that he has done. Okay, your recent article is entitled "The A Nation of Liars," and that is so true. Oh my gosh!
Oh my God! It's really borne out today with everything going on in Syria. With I was just looking at Jim Stone. I just took a glance at him. Russia bombs CIA base in Syria. I love it. And then the other aspect of that, the other tangent to that, is the debacle about the Hajj, where it started out with saying 400 people were killed, and other people are saying 7,000 people were killed, all because the Saudis and the Israelis wanted to get a hold of Iranian missile technicians who were doing their religious pilgrimage to Mecca. So we've got two things going on that both verify the theme of my story, A Nation of Liars. One is when Syria invited Russia into their country, when Assad invited Russia into Syria to help them with the this seemingly unsolvable ISIS crisis, nothing was really happening, and the United States started bombing, but they weren't bombing ISIS, they were bombing Syria.
Exactly.
And now that the Russians have come in there and are actually bombing ISIS, America is complaining that Russia is bombing the United States allies, and that's definitely true, because the people that the United States was supporting in Syria, supposedly to do away with this mysterious group that had suddenly appeared, was really trying to overthrow Syria. And now Russia has completely reversed that course. So we're at a very interesting time, a very dangerous time, where if there's ever a collision between Russian troops and American troops, I mean, that... more insignificant things have started world wars than that. So we're right on the cusp of it. But the that companion issue in Saudi Arabia, I mean, Saudi Arabia, I've been harping on this for a long time. I was one of the first people, at least in this internet reality that we know, I was one of the first people who came out and said the Saudis aren't Muslims. The Saudis are Jews.
Absolutely.
And the big joke for decades has been when the United States gave weapons of war to Israel, they would claim that to maintain the balance of power in the Middle East, they had to give the same amount of weapons to Saudi Arabia, when really they were just doubling up on the missiles and planes that they were given to the Jewish monsters who have that whole area, and in fact the whole world, in a state of chaos with their shenanigans. The Syrian situation, as you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it's a diabolical situation where they created so much havoc in Syria, and then urged the people of Syria to flee toward Europe, which is really a war against Europe, because what they're doing to all of the countries in Europe is totally destabilizing them, just like they're doing in the United States. They're totally destabilizing us, with the help, I might add, of our treasonous president, who is helping them right along. I could go on with this monologue for quite a long time, but I'm sure you know what it is.
Yes, it is terrible, terrible.
We've been totally taken over by Jews, and now the Jewish media has come out and claimed that the polls show that the most wanted person for president, the most desired person for president on the part of the American electorate, is none other than Joe Biden.
Oh, gosh.
who is a Jew himself that they cover up. His matriarchal line is Iraqi Jews. So we're totally engulfed, as you know, by this Jewish deception, which the vast majority of the population still doesn't understand. And those of us who keep hammering on this keep running into people who say to us, why do you keep talking about the Jews? You know, can't you talk about something else? And really, there is nothing else to talk about, because all of the problems that we face are either generated or at least exacerbated by Jews who have nobody's best interest at heart except their own.
Right.
They're allies of nobody, and they're out to destroy the world, and they're succeeding.
Indeed. And it's amazing how they just creep in, they infiltrate everything, and they're in every country and have been for some time. And this European invasion is really, with the situation in the European Union, the economic situation, and just everything. I mean, housing, everything. I mean, it's just an onslaught against Europe. But it's good for them. It's good for them because it gets rid of all the people that they don't want to be in their chosen land, the one that that they say that God gave them. And so the more people they can chase out of the area, then the more land that they can take over. And certainly that's what they're doing. Well, and we help them to do that by bombing the Iraq and Afghanistan and back to the Stone Age. So definitely they certainly have been ruling here in America.
We help them to do that by continuing to be addicted to their media.
Mm-hmm.
As I was I mentioned to you a little while ago, I guess this was before the show, Twitter responses to television shows reveal that especially the younger generation have completely swallowed the fact that whites are evil and need to be eliminated, and just all of the propaganda objectives that the Jews have planted in the minds of people through music and through movies, especially through movies where blacks are always the good guys. And this is completely and diametrically opposed to the situation in real life, where as you drive throughout America, there are places you cannot go, whether you're black or white, but especially if you're white, where you cannot go because it's too dangerous because of the black population's propensity toward attacking whites and committing crimes against everyone. And as a parallel, the situation exists in Europe and now has been exacerbated by this tremendous migration of third worlders, where there are large parts of these countries that you can't go into because they're controlled by Muslims. And Muslims, for whatever reason, I guess it's another problem with religion, where their religion tells them they can do anything they want to people who aren't Muslims and kill them because they aren't Muslims and rape the women because they have a Western style of dress, which means that they are eligible to be raped. So we're in, it's not just a white race, it's the whole world now that is in big trouble, primarily because, or exclusively because, the Jews have destabilized every country in the world through their control of the money and through the control of the media. And,
sure. But in conjunction, John, in conjunction with that, in conjunction.
Let me just finish this sentence.
Okay, go
ahead. The people who are victimized by this either haven't realized it or have not set up an adequate defense toward it, because the power structures have been wrested from them by the Jews, who have paid their way into a situation where they own all the politicians, and now all the laws are being changed to support this Jewish invasion of the entire world.
Sure. Well, in conjunction with the media, and particularly since 9/11, the Muslims have been denigrated. And I noticed in a few of the programs that I've watched recently that they're talking about terrorism. They're talking about, oh, the Muslims. They portray Muslims as horrible, horrible, horrible people in this country. And I wonder if they don't exacerbate that and overreport the problems. And I'm sure there are a lot of angry Muslims in Europe who would rather be at home in their own country. But do you think that they kind of elaborate or they enlarge the actual number of rapes and murders and that kind of thing? Or do you think they're accurately reporting? Because remember that the Jews are the ones that are doing the reporting. And, of course, right. We never hear anything bad about the Jews. We don't hear about the rapes and all the horrible things that the Jews do to little kids. As indicated, is perfectly fine in the Talmud that they can do whatever they want. And we never hear this. We never hear about little infants getting hepatitis B from after they're circumcised. Couldn't think of the word. We never hear about that. And I mean, it's sick. It's sick what these people are doing.
There's actually a worse part of that than the moils biting the tips off babies' penises. There's actually a worse part of that than that particular thing. And that is the Hasidic culture evidenced in Brooklyn, where virtually all the single-digit aged Jewish boys are ordered to go to bathhouses where they perform various deviant sexual things with old Jewish men.
Yes, I've heard about that.
That, to me, is even worse than the defacing of defenseless babies and creating in the mind. It does something to the minds of these children. It puts baseline emotional response of incomprehensible terror in the minds of children, which is that's the first principle of brainwashing. So after they have that baseline of terror in the minds of babies, as the kids grow up, they can tell them anything and get them to believe it.
Sure.
When Jewish kids are brought up in temple, they are continually reminded of how they are hated by the rest of the world. And this enables them to follow their religious commands that the rest of the world are animals, not to be treated as real people, and you can rob them and kill them at your convenience.
Right.
But how did I get off on that?
I don't know. I think I brought it up. I think I initiated that conversation, but I'd heard about the bathhouses.
What was the original question you asked, or the original comment you made, if you remember?
Well, whether the media, the Jewish media, emphasized, exaggerated.
Well, I my answer to that was going to be, I originally had that thought that the one or two Muslims I've met in this country have been very nice, and it seems like some of the statements they have made, the media has made about Muslim depravity, were overblown. But I think my attitude toward that has changed based on what I've seen in Europe, or based on what I've read about in Europe, where the situation in Sweden and Denmark are completely out of control. Reading the crime reports in Britain about these Muslim rape gangs that may have been started by Jews but are definitely staffed by Muslims, where Muslims can rape a series of 12-year-old girls and prime them to become prostitutes And if they get arrested, they're given extremely light sentences in jail so that they get out in 2 or 3 years and can do it again. And that, to me, is completely unfathomable. And the other aspect of the Muslim penetration of Europe so far is the stories out of, particularly out of France, but also out of other countries, where there are no-go zones that have been created, where Muslims have moved into, say, a city like Marseille, and they have captured large parts of the city where the police are afraid to go into to catch criminals because they are afraid for their own lives. They don't have the manpower to go in and stave off the defenses that the Muslims are willing to put up to defend the people who are hiding from the police. So I think the rule is, and I've read this and I've come to believe it, is that a few Muslims are not a bad thing. They initially tend to bring a sense of morality to wherever they're at. Mm-hmm. But when they reach a majority stage, they become completely different, and they follow the orders of their holy books, which is a whole other subject. We want to talk about how all the monotheistic holy books are very much the same and very much agents of tyranny. Mm-hmm. But once the Muslims have the upper hand in these countries, they go on these rape sprees because they feel that women who dress in the Western style and don't wear hijabs or don't wear burqas are asking for it, which is the status of women in Muslim countries. If they're undressed like that they're free to be raped. And when Muslims have the upper hand, they could kill anyone. This is the same as this is where Muslim doctrine and Judaic doctrine are exactly the same. And they can kill anyone who doesn't follow their dogma. And this is happening in the countries of Europe where Muslims have gained the upper hand. And it's going to happen in every country in which they gain the upper hand. It's the situation throughout the Middle East.
True. In answer
to your question, is bad things.
Did I lose you? I think I'm not sure what happened here. John, are you there? Oh, dear. What's going on here? I've lost audio. I don't know what happened to John. Can anybody hear? John, are you there? Okay, I'm not sure. Can you still hear me? Let me know in the chat room if you can still hear me. But John's audio just cut out. I'm not sure why. Okay, people can still hear me. I'm not sure what happened to John. I'm still showing him on the board, and he might still be talking, but okay, hang on. Okay. John,
hello?
I think we lost you. Hi. We lost you.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah. Maybe if your Skype was on and somebody tried to call you or something.
Maybe.
Yeah, that can happen sometimes. But getting back to this situation with the Arabs, the Muslims, when the United States military went into Iraq, Iraq was a very upscale community. I mean, there were, I'm sure people still wore the traditional dress and whatnot, but women were working, they were driving, they were doing a lot of things. Now, I don't know that that's the same as Afghanistan. I think they were more traditional. But I know when I talked to a couple of people in Sweden about the situation, and this has been a couple of years ago, and they said that there were a lot of Muslims that were coming into their country and that there was a lot of rape. I mean, they just described it just very, very well. They really told us what was going on. But when I mentioned that the Jews were behind the multiculturalism, oh, they just couldn't believe it. They said, the Jews? No, no, you're wrong. Yeah. The Jews aren't doing anything. Oh, we really like those people. It's those Muslims that are the troublemakers. So,
yeah, they didn't get it.
Yeah, they didn't get it quite.
How much did you hear what I said before about the difference between perceptions in America and Europe?
Okay, to cover that again.
In any case, my answer to your question was, when there are only a smattering of Muslims, they seem to behave admirably. But when they get the upper hand, it becomes completely different. And according to their holy book, they are entitled to rape anyone they want and kill anyone they want because they're not adhering to the prophets of Islam. And so that makes their religion very much like the Jewish religion, in which the Jewish religion says anybody who's not Jewish is an animal and you can rob and kill them as your heart desires. So I think that in contemplating the Muslim question, you have to group it with the Jewish question and ask, why do these people have this rule that is a clear and present danger to everyone else, and why does everyone else put up with it? Because they're too stupid to see that these people are waging war against them. And I think that's true of both the Judaics and the Islamics, where because of their insane religious beliefs, they are prepared to kill anyone who opposes them. And I think we need to proceed on that basis to enacting strict restrictions on what they do and how much of our country they are entitled to participate in or entitled to take advantage of. I don't really think they should be allowed in this country, either one of them, the Jews or the Muslims. And I don't want to get too far into this, but if we don't take this seriously, we're going to be extinguished by one or the other.
Oh, I think that's already happening quite a lot. I mean, with multiculturalism and abortion and all the other kinds of things that have occurred, mainly because of Jewish influences in the court, in the Supreme Court, in Congress. I think anybody that isn't cognizant of what is going on certainly isn't looking, because it's very obvious. Well, to people like you and I, but it is also interesting that, and of course it's because of the Jewish monopoly of the media, that we never hear about what the Jews are doing, but we always hear about what everybody else is doing. And somehow they just kind of stand on the sidelines and watch it all happening because, well, they have really influenced it and provoked it.
I know, and it's amazing that they have turned people who should be our allies into our enemies by brainwashing them with this Jewish propaganda, which is, as I mentioned before, I think, that Joe Biden was the most well-received of all of the potential presidential candidates that we now have for the next election. Joe Biden is the one who came right out and said that America is a much greater place, a much nicer place, because of the effects that Jewish influence has had on the country. And, when you and I look at that or hear that statement, we think to ourselves, well, what effect have the Jews had on this country? First of all, they have destroyed every shred of decency in every area through their pornographization of the media, where back in the World War II days, we used to have respectful people who were modest and certainly not flagrantly pure prurient like they are now. And Jewish media have turned this country into a trash heap where you're liable to see anything on television. They have, I always use the example of watching MTV this was 10 years ago, too, watching MTV in the middle of the day, and they had a blonde girl with two black men talking about the techniques of oral sex. This was on MTV at 11 o'clock in the morning. And so compare that to back in the days before women were liberated, and there used to be whole families going to church all together. Which would we prefer now?
I've never seen MTV. I missed all that, thank goodness, but gosh, unbelievable. Well, even the sitcoms, not that I watch any of those, but they're all sexual oriented and multicultural. I mean, you have I think there are shows on that where there's same sex marriage, and I mean, it's just filth. It's permeating the entire culture.
I have a good friend, a man friend, who has five sons, all of whom are in their 20s, and they're all successful at what they do. But the youngest one has a girlfriend, and he brings her home, and she is allowed to stay overnight in the room with him.
Oh my gosh!
And I looked at him, and he knew what I was thinking. And he said, you know, it's a completely different world. You can't enforce social practices that were dominant 50 years ago today in today's culture, because everybody has been turned into a sexually liberated person, if that's what you want to call it. But there's this this immorality that has been draped over the whole country that the kids absorb, and the parents are powerless to stop it because peer pressure in practically every generation that isn't ruled by stern moral boundaries that religion used to impose, kids are able to take the prevailing social attitudes and blackmail the parents with them by saying, you know, everybody does this. This is what is done nowadays. And really, the parents are pretty much powerless to stop them. So that on that score, the Jews have succeeded in completely removing parental authority from kids once they reach the age of puberty. Pretty much there is no parental authority left. And I think a lot of that has to do with single-parent families where you don't have a father. A stern father saying, "No, you're not about to do that," and that's not to lay the blame on women, but it really takes two parents to raise a child. And now that we have an entire population of one parent children, they are much more susceptible not only to social brainwashing but the government brainwashing, which reinforces what Obama is talking about of turning everybody into people with no families and totally dependent on the government. And that's exactly what the Jews want. They want no families and everybody turning to government for their sustenance and emotional support. And that's the way they have total control of the whole population, which they practically do. Yeah.
And it's all been incremental. I mean, beginning with the, civil rights movement, the women's movement, all of these things that changed the churches and their acceptance of a tax-free status. I mean, it's just all, when you lump all those things together, we got what they planned on giving us. And
of all of those things, I think the coup de grace was the 1972 decision by the American Psychiatric Association, after an invasion of their meeting by homosexual activists to declare homosexuality, change the designation of the legal definition of homosexuality. Well, they couldn't change the legal definition of it, but they changed the medical definition of it from a perversion to an alternative lifestyle.
Exactly.
And that just compounded the effects that women's liberation and bringing women into the workplace had on the American family. And, you know, at this point, the American family, it's not completely extinct, because there are still a goodly number of people who are members of churches or have sufficient sense of morality to fight that off. But, again, especially in the single-parent families, you have no moral guideposts to keep them from becoming tools of MTV and the Jewish mass media, which says that sexual fulfillment is more important than raising a family. And that was emphasized, I think, did I mention this? Re-emphasized by Obama's statement the other day that the defense of homosexual rights is much more important than freedom of religion. I think I didn't mention that.
Holy cow. Well, if anybody were, look at his family.
Come right out and said that he's not gonna go back on gay rights, and if freedom of religion is lost because of gay rights, well, that's just the way it is.
Holy cow!
My answer to that is, where does it mention homosexuality in the Constitution?
Yeah.
We have freedom of religion, and we can practice anything we want. And if our religion says that homosexuality is evil, well, words of an insane president like we have now saying it doesn't count, it doesn't really matter. It's the same
right.
way with, it's the same deal with the Supreme Court saying same-sex marriage is okay. Same-sex marriage is not okay until the Congress passes a law saying it is okay. So that this woman who was put into jail the other day for refusing to issue same-sex marriage licenses to a couple of gay couples, the judge who put her in jail had no right to do that. She was within her legal promise to refuse to do that, because there is no law. No law has been passed. It's just a court decision that says same-sex marriage is okay, and it's not okay.
Right. And of course, marriage used to be under the jurisdiction of the state. And as soon as the marriage became an issue on a federal level, then they've just taken all the jurisdiction away from the state.
But there's still no law. There's still no law.
No, there isn't. There isn't.
The courts can't make laws. Anyway, we'll see how that turns out. I mean, the court can pretty much do anything they want. Speaking of courts, you're familiar with your RBN buddies, Ingrid Castle and Anita Whitney, right?
Not really.
They have a very interesting website about the straw man. And their thesis winds up being that our government is illegal. They can't prove they are legal, because once they incorporated in, I forget it was 1871 or 1933, they pretended to be a government. They weren't a government anymore. And by pretending to be a government, and not because they turned themselves into a corporation, which is not a government.
Right. That happened right after the Civil War.
Right. And when they did that, they were committing treason.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at the why can't I remember the name of their website? The hang on a second. Let me get the right name here. Anti-Corruption Society is their website.
Okay.
When they became a corporation, they were no longer a government, and therefore they were committing treason. Well, there's a way to prove this step by step, and there was a fellow in West Virginia who did this and submitted a brief to the I guess it's the West Virginia Supreme Court, because I think he'd been I'm not really sure about the details, as I never am. He had been defeated in the lower court, so he fixed his brief and he submitted it to the West Virginia Supreme Court. And lo and behold, plus he was advocating that people show up in Charleston to protest that the government was illegal, and it is illegal. The whole all the government is illegal. And you have to know more about the straw man to fully understand why it is illegal.
Mm-hmm.
But he submitted this brief, and then a few days later, he was arrested and thrown in jail for trying to overthrow the government.
Oh, and my. gosh.
Which is why you don't ever want to try to prove anything in court, because courts can do anything they want, since they're not real courts. And they can just make the rules as they go along and keep you in jail for as long as they want. So I don't know if we'll ever hear from this guy again. But that doesn't defeat the straw man movement, because that's growing, because more and more people are realizing that, for instance, there is no law to make you pay your income tax. There is no reason. If you can extricate yourself from the power that the straw man has over you, and the straw man is your name in capital letters that appears on your certificate, that appears on your Social Security card, that appears on your bank accounts and so forth, if you can remove yourself from the power that that has over you, then the government has no power over you, theoretically. But as we know, the government makes up the rules as it goes along. They can throw you in jail for reasons that aren't forgive the use of the word kosher, and you'll never see the light of day again, because the government is not an operation with integrity. I mean, there's so many examples of it. Pete Hendrickson's wife, who they threw in jail because she wouldn't sign a false document that the IRS demanded that she sign, which was really a persecution of her husband, who wrote a book detailing how you can get around paying taxes, which many people have used successfully. So they threw him in jail for a while.
And right. I've interviewed him before. Yeah.
Yeah, they threw her in jail. So, and then there's the, you know, I'm not a big fan of Paul Craig Roberts, but he had a great story the other day about Dzhokhar Tsarnaev and his aunt, who lives in one of the Soviet republics. I forget if it's Chechnya or Dagestan or the Kyrgyz Republic, but Roberts told the story of how federal prosecutors went over and talked to Tsarnaev's family and got them to sign a statement saying that he would receive fair representation from the lawyers that would be appointed for him in this trial. And they eventually browbeat them into signing the document, and then came back and hired these hitman defense attorneys who said, oh, yeah, he did it, instead of defending him, because he didn't do it, number one. And it's easy to prove he didn't do it, and yet the government convicted him without any defense at all. And I forgot whether they gave him the death penalty or not. It's either that or life in prison. And he's clearly innocent. I mean, a lot of people, Dick Eastman was on this for a long time, and he was absolutely right about it. The bomb was in a black backpack, and Dzhokhar Tsarnaev was carrying a white backpack, and they completely disregarded that. They also completely disregarded the mercenaries who were in charge of the whole operation, who were clearly seen on film throughout the whole operation. And the whole thing with the newspapers, and this is such an important case, as you know, because they shut down the whole city looking for this guy who they knew was not guilty, and wound up slashing his throat so he couldn't speak to reporters, and they shut down the whole city, and the whole city was very thankful that they did it. That's the most disturbing part of that whole thing.
Wow.
Was that they had this whole movement of Boston Strong. And back a couple of Christmases ago, my nephew bought me he's not politically aware, and he bought me a T-shirt that said 617 on it. Well, 617 is the area code for New England, and it was a kind of a buzz phrase for Boston Strong about how all the people were supporting the government in when they shut down the city and went house to house for this person who hadn't been convicted, hadn't even been charged, and they murdered his brother in the middle of the street. And the people are cheering this, and it has become a part of New England folklore now. They have holidays commemorating how wonderful the police apparatus was in shutting down the city to capture this person, this innocent boy that they said was a terrorist.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's in jail, headed for life imprisonment, and his aunt has filed a brief to review the charges, but I don't think she's going to get anywhere. This was reported, I think it was also reported by John Rutherford, who's done a lot of good work in reporting a lot of the abuses the government has inflicted on us over the past few years.
Right.
And in fact, I was thinking the other day, that's a guy I'd like to see run for president, is John Rutherford, because he is very willing to point out the criminality that is totally rules American government today. So getting back to my story.
Yes, a nation of liars.
A nation of liars. I listed the top 25 lies that really popped out of my own head, and there's many more than that I could have listed. But lies like the U.S. captured Osama bin Laden and shot him, threw him into the ocean.
And, oh, wow.
And then killed the SEAL team that went and supposedly did that.
Yes.
for fear that they would tell the truth about what actually happened, which was that there was no Osama bin Laden because he died 10 years ago of kidney failure.
Yes, as reported on Fox News in December of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So,
and the thing is that so many people believe all of these things. There are so many people that actually believe that the Muslims somehow just were able to fly these planes in spite of the fact that they weren't skilled pilots, that they could fly these planes into the towers, and that by doing that, the towers would just fall down and they would burn up or whatever people think. It is amazing that educated people would believe this stuff.
You know, speaking of that reminds me of another scam relating to that that's fresher than that, that's just happened recently, and that is the sudden appearance of this person named Rebecca Roth.
Oh.
Who has come out with, what's the name of her first book? Is Methodical Illusion, and she has a sequel, and she has been on
everywhere.
Numerous talk shows who should know better. And talking about the airplanes and how she's a stewardess, so she knows that the stories we heard about the airplanes were wrong, and she appears to be very forthcoming about Israeli involvement, forthcoming in a reticent kind of way, in a reluctant
mm-hmm.
kind of way. What?
Yeah, I'm just listening. Yeah, I'm just listening.
Oh, I thought anyway.
I'm spellbound by what you're saying.
So the deal is, when you're talking about 9/11, you don't talk about airplanes, because we know for sure that airplanes could not have brought the buildings down.
Yes.
You don't talk about hijackers, because we know for sure that hijackers couldn't have flown those airplanes.
Exactly.
And we're not really talking about planes hitting the towers, although we can go on and on about whether there were planes or no planes and never reach a decision about which is which.
Sure. Planes were a distraction on 9/11, and they're a distraction. She's making them another distraction now.
Thank you. That about sums up what I was going to say.
Great minds, John.
Yeah, so that's the latest one. And she's, like I say, she's been on a lot of radio shows that should know better, which leads us to another really important subject, and that is, you know, it probably starts with Alex Jones, of all of these radio shows that are out there that are pretending to be avatars of the coming revolution or the coming disaster or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, there's this Pete Santilli is one, and
mm-hmm.
Dan Quayle, that Quayle fellow, and maybe John V. Wells is another one, who are like Alex Jones, where they try to keep people on the edge of their seats by predicting disaster is going to happen on such and such a date.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it never happens. And a lot of these people haven't been found out like Alex Jones has been found out, and that is thanks to the great effort by David Duke the other day. You talk about Alex Jones being stupid. Why
great?
Did he ever invite David Duke on his
what
show?
What was he thinking? I mean, David Duke is very skilled and
yes,
can argue with.
Yeah. Cut him to ribbon, and he had to be rescued by his Jewish producer.
Yes, wasn't that funny? That was hilarious. You know, getting back to this Roth character, in her book, she has lifted entire statements, paragraphs from other people's work, even changing it, verbatim, like from Corbett and several people, just lift things right out and just plop it into your book. And because she says, well, it's a novel, and she says right at the beginning, this is a novel. This is a work of fiction. And she's really, really taken a lot of liberties with other people's work, and it's terrible. Terrible what she's doing.
I remember back along the trail where there was a fellow named Steve Alton. I think that was his name.
Yes, I recall that name.
And he did a book on 9/11, which was heavily promoted by mainstream media. And I have a number of friends, old friends, who are still stuck in the I Believe in America kind of.
Yeah. He wrote The Shell Game, didn't he? Yeah, The Shell Game is what he wrote. Yeah.
And that it was really a compound distraction about why we should never think about Israel being involved in all of this.
Sure.
I know a lot of people who still operate on that level, where they're still puzzled by what happened on 9/11, but they have completely ruled out the idea that Israel had anything to do with it. And these people are also those deceived fools who have no idea about Jewish control of the American government or American media. Or
sure, or the USS Liberty several decades ago.
They can't get there or won't get there because they think it's anti-Semitism.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever I go, I guess I have a reputation now of being a Jew basher.
Oh, really? I had not heard that, John. Are you sure?
And I'm pretty sure, yeah, except for people who don't know anything and then don't really know, are barely new to know what would happen. But why I do that is because they do control everything. They do have everybody's mind wrapped around all these false concepts. Sports is a big one where people are totally immersed in sports and can't come out and see.
Who runs sports?
It's like all of the commissioners are Jewish, all the owners are Jewish, and the all of the sports figures are heavily behind the support of the U.S. military, and none of them, or precious few of them, ever asked whether the United States military are doing things that are honorable. I thought we were going to have a breakthrough when the Pat Tillman scandal. Was that his name, Pat Tillman?
Yeah, Pat Tillman. Yeah, I talked to his family, and he was assassinated. He was going to come home and spill the beans.
Yeah, that's right. And they've kind of sloughed that off as saying it was a terrible accident.
Yeah, right.
But
just like Patton's accident, right?
And
General Patton.
Just like all of those holistic physicians who were using GCMAF to cure people of cancer.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they all wound up committing suicide all at once, practically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, which leads us to, we don't have an honest government. We have, as I said, a nation of liars, a government of liars, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
This was like the microbiologists when the 53 microbiologists went down because they didn't want to let them reveal what they were really doing with the flu or Ebola or whatever it was. And now we have people who have who are able to circumvent the cancer scam. I mean, there are really very many cures for cancer now that are being practiced, but this apparently was the a real home run hitter as far as something to get rid of cancer. It arrested it right away, and doctors were using it. And they go and shoot, Bradstreet was his name. They shoot him in the, say he committed suicide by shooting himself in the chest and then jumping in a river.
Yeah, that was quite a feat, wasn't it?
That's almost as bad as, or as good as, who was that fellow who wrote the story for the San Jose Mercury?
Oh, I know who you mean. What was his name?
Gary Webb.
Whiteout. He. There was a book about him, Whiteout. Let's see.
Gary Webb, yeah.
Gary Webb.
But I was really thinking of Hunter Thompson, who committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice. So it's the same kind of deal where, God, we got this whole level of people being murdered, and there being no government response at all because the government is doing it. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm just having a little coughing spell here. A couple of people are mentioning that your volume is pretty low. Is there any way you
pretty
could
low?
Make it? Could you check it?
I think I maxed out. I'll stop turning away from the screen and I'll come up close like this. Is that better?
Say a few things.
I hope this is better because I've got my nose almost to the screen.
Yeah, I think it's better. All righty.
So where are you appearing these days? Are you still on RBN?
Yes, I'm on once a week.
Yeah.
And on Saturday from 3 to 6. So
3 to 6, how long are you on today?
2 hours. Oh. I have a blog talk I just did myself. Actually, I've paid for 5 days a week, but I only do Monday and Thursday. But actually, it is. And when I was doing the Monday through Friday thing with RBN, I mean, it was a lot of work. And I after John kind of eliminated me, really out of the blue. I was really sad and hurt, but then I thought, wow, I get to have more time. I get to do things. I really hadn't realized just how intensely hard I was working. I mean, it seemed my whole life revolved around finding guests and getting ready for a program and doing this and trying to write books at the same time. And so I'm pretty happy with the schedule that I have now. It's
a blessing in disguise.
Yes, it really is. Yes.
How about the AFP podcast? Are they still going on?
I think they are. I haven't been with them since last July. They just kind of arbitrarily quit doing podcasts, and then I think 4 or 5 months after that, they decided to. Have more, so I don't know, but they didn't invite me back, but because I had already gone on and established my own little blog talk thing, so that's fine.
Well, I've certainly bounced around a lot. I've been very fortunate in that I've had really had my own website, but I've had a lot of websites that other people have done for me. And for the past few years, I've appeared on the Rebel. He's had trouble keeping it going, and when he missed a couple of, he was down. He was off the air for a period of a couple of weeks twice.
Wow!
And then Kyle Hunt at the Renegade Tribune said, "Well, why don't you come over here? He's been really terrific, and he's actually rerun a lot of my past stories, so that it seems like I'm." So prolific. I'm doing 4 or 5 stories a week. That hasn't been the case. Some of those are older stories that he'd and his readership had never seen. So I'm very appreciative of that. And like I said, I'm very happy with the company I keep on that website.
Sure.
Because everybody's really fighting for the same thing, trying to get the problem of the extermination of the white race more in people's minds. And I especially like the fact that Kyle has really kind of almost accidentally undertaken a survey of the world's religions. And I was telling him the other day that I think that's really important, because I think people of different belief systems need to get together and see the things that they have in common that perhaps maybe they're phrasing differently and don't realize they have these things in common, because we definitely need a united front to fight the Jews. And right now, the people who are opposing the Jews is so fragmented that it's been very ineffective over the past several decades.
Do you think that's been deliberate?
Well, maybe, but I think really it's because of people letting their religious differences get in the way of having solidarity with other people who may sound a little different but really have the same goal in mind, which is to expose all these Jewish lies that have undermined society in such a profound way. And
That they've wanted to segregate us. They don't want us to get together. And so they define our differences and say, and imply that, you couldn't work with this group. And like white nationalism, I consider myself a nationalist, but which is impossible to do in this country or probably in any other country now. But I think that we do need to get together with people who we have commonality with, or who they are, because we have only one common enemy.
That's right. And they don't have any trouble maintaining solidarity among their groups, because their solidarity is based on money and bribery and blackmail and murder. And they're all on the same page automatically, because they are the criminals of the earth. And they are fostering and sponsoring chaos wherever they go, and making a handy profit on it as they do it. It really behooves anyone who has any kind of moral upbringing at all to try to find as many people who are on the same page and put up a defense against all of this stuff that's happening, because we see by reading the news that there are all of these totalitarian systems being put in place. There are really scary things being done by Google and by Ray Kurzweil and manipulating people's belief systems to get them all on the same page. And on another level, there are the cynical maneuvers coordinated by our beloved President Barack Obama to flood the country with third world peoples in order to overstress the system, get everybody worried about their own survival and fighting each other, and creating a system of chaos that will eventually require martial law and the stamping out of individual freedoms as too dangerous to possess, because if you speak your mind freely about the chaos that has been deliberately imposed on the American people, you're liable to be thrown in jail. And this is their way of controlling everyone by getting everyone to think the same way. This is the tyranny of political correctness, by getting everyone to think the same way no matter who it harms.
Sure.
And
as far as the influx of people into this country, they always seem to blame the current administration. Now, I have absolutely no respect for any of the politicians. But when you look at it, when it actually began to happen with NAFTA and the destruction of the Mexican peso in 1996, incremental thing. And this has been going on, and yet they blame, Obama did this. No. Yes, each president contributes his share towards this whole multicultural destabilization of the country. He and his wife are doing a remarkably, or he and his spouse, let's say spouse, are doing a remarkably good job. I mean, she's gone over to the UK and is talking to black people over there and saying, "Oh, you've got to take responsibility. You have not responsibility, but you have to take power." I mean, she's trying to empower people to stand up against something that they shouldn't be doing. People need to allow others to live, but she is really trying to provoke anger and provoke resentment against the whites. And it's very obvious in her rhetoric that is what she's doing. She ought to just stay in her, in this country. I mean, what are they doing over in other countries provoking war and resentment?
Well, it's politicians who've been bought off by the Jews. You see it in England.
Sure.
And I have my friend Tony, who's organizing a group called the Celtic People's Party in Ireland. Ireland is awash in Africans, and they are taking up some of the jobs that the Mexicans take here in America, and so that the white Irish can't get work because of this multiculturalism that has been imposed on them by the Jewish organizers of the Union.
Yeah, and look at the policies in Israel, in the Israeli state. They certainly won't tolerate that kind of multiculturalism in their own country or the country that they stole.
They put them right into camps and processed them right out of there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's everything they do is hypocritical. But I think getting back to the Middle East, I think it's really a potentially promising development that Putin has brought in Russian troops and is actually bombing ISIS positions rather than pretending to bomb ISIS positions as the American liars were doing. And we talk about all the great lies that have been told. This is one of the most barefaced lies that's ever been told, where first of all, Russian common sense initially stopped Obama from an outright invasion of Syria on the order of what he did to Libya. And what he did to Libya is that's right up there with some of the Indian massacres that took place in the Wild West, or some of the massacres of Southerners that Northern generals did in the Civil War, where it's just 600,000 people were killed in Libya. Did you know that? 600,000 people were killed in the no-fly zone over Libya.
Oh, my gosh.
This was a country that gave people $5,000 or whatever the denomination of dollars was when they got married.
Yes.
They gave them free housing, free college. And really, that's one of the reasons why America wanted to destroy Libya, is because they didn't want the rest of the world to see what an honestly run country can do and how wonderful it could be to live there, and see the comparison between countries that are controlled by a Jewish central bank and how everybody's on the verge of poverty, can't pay all their debts. The debt never ends. And there was no debt in Libya. Gas was 11 cents a gallon. They had, and he invented that wonderful water system.
Oh,
that nobody,
yes. Beautiful
nobody
thing.
And plus there was the stealing of, $36 billion in gold that Gaddafi had amassed from the sale of his oil.
Sure.
And they just went in and they stole all that, and the American people barely looked up from their morning coffee while that was going on, because the Jewish media tricked them into believing that Gaddafi was a bad man, which was one of the things I put on my top 25 list.
Yeah,
top
it's number
America.
Seven. Yeah. Number seven.
Yeah.
Number
and
two.
Number two, yeah, number two is the...
Hitler was evil, started World War II, and he killed 6 million Jews in gas ovens.
And people, the vast majority of American people still believe that. How many Holocaust museums are there in the United States? 180, something like that?
Something like that, yeah. Taxpayer-funded, by the way.
Yeah, taxpayer-funded. It's almost as bad as the professional sports franchises where the billion-dollar stadiums are constructed on the backs of the taxpayers.
And then exactly.
And then the taxpayers have to pay $200.
Just like what Bush and his cronies did in Texas. They had that thing built, and then they took it over and took all the profits. But the taxpayers had to foot the bill.
Right. Yeah, American scams. The two biggest American scams, I think, there's no scientific basis for this statement, but it's just observation, are the Visa card. Whoever was given the franchise to run the Visa card, who runs the Visa? I don't know who runs the Visa card, but the Visa card is everywhere all over the world. There is really no successful competitor to it. Yeah, there are a couple of other. It's like Ford and Chevy and Coke and Pepsi. There are a couple of other companies that even be owned by the same people. And the other one is Comcast, which was given an exclusive franchise rights all over the country, or most parts of the country, to have a monopoly on the cable. And I don't know what
right.
the reason for that is. I think it was because they didn't want duplicate sets of wires going everywhere. That was the excuse anyway. But
sure.
But now Comcast has gotten so big, it's bought Time Magazine, it bought Time Warner, and it's bought, what is it else? Did it buy NBC? Comcast bought NBC, yeah.
Yeah, can you imagine that?
It's gotten so big, and they are the worst company. They are, like, if you're a person with Comcast, as I am, you really can't deal with their pricing setup, which continually increases, or their customer service, which is...
it's terrible.
Beneath terrible, yeah.
Yes.
It's really symbolic of the decline of American ethics, if there ever were any American ethics, but we know there
right.
aren't any. Yeah.
Right.
So American lies are everywhere. And then we've got, there's so many lies I didn't put on that list, like go to college to get ahead.
to get a big loan that takes you forever, that you never pay off. My gosh.
And that's the thing about debt in general that people are just beginning to realize is that this debt that people talk about as the cornerstone of Western civilization never gets paid off. When I was looking at some of the figures in a recent story I did, I don't think it was this one, I think it was a recent one, we're still paying off the debt from World War I. Britain was still paying off the debt from its efforts in the French Revolution to start the French Revolution. Was still paying off that debt in the early 20th century. It takes
more than
100 years to pay it off, and now, of course, we have this debt that's never going to be paid off.
Because
right. it's, like, 12 times the gross national product of the world. Something like that, some obscene thing. So until we realize that this is a pure shell game for the Jews and the Federal Reserve and the bankers, society is going to continue to deteriorate. And the way to turn it around is to just declare the debt null and void, because it can't be paid off. It's so far beyond
not ever.
What the world produces, it can never be paid off. And until we do that, we're going to continue to slide into the police state that is virtually here already.
Right. I was just looking at your list.
Which one right. keeps your fancy?
23, you've already talked about 23 holistic doctors dying accidentally.
Yep.
24 is fluoride helps keep your teeth healthy.
Okay.
I've been focusing quite a lot on, you also talk about vaccines. Number 5, vaccines are safe and effective. And then 5A, GMOs make healthy food. But the whole allopathic medical system is, it kills almost 1 million people a year. And
yeah.
we've all been victims of that system at one time or another.
I have a doctor that's been trying to get me to take statins for years.
Oh, gosh, don't do that. Oh, my gosh.
I don't.
That causes Alzheimer's. It causes diabetes. It causes all kinds of things.
Yeah, muscle deterioration.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And it counteracts CoQ10, which is something we all should be taking. Can't get
sure.
enough CoQ10. Yeah. Doctors, they officially, according to mainstream media, doctors following doctors' orders. What do they call that kind of medicine? Iatrogenic? No, what's the word?
Yes, that you've got
yeah.
it. Iatrogenic. Yeah.
The third leading cause of death in the country behind heart disease and cancer, but really, it's the number one leading cause of death.
Right.
Exactly. Because when you factor in chemotherapy and radiation and vaccines, especially, how could they have ever approved something as diabolical as Gardasil? And then now they even have Gardasil for boys. This is a vaccine that is supposed to forestall uterine cancer, giving it to boys who don't have a uterus.
Exactly. But they have money. I mean, it costs, I think, $130 per shot, and they need three shots. It's the most expensive vaccine that they've ever produced. And they've got 200 and, oh, well, almost 300 more vaccines in the pipeline.
Who was that guy the other day who upped the price of his pill from?
Oh, right, yes.
$15 to $780 or something like that.
Yeah.
It's just, and this is what our children are being raised to see is common behavior in the country in which they live.
Mm-hmm.
So given all the other bad things that are happening to in school, we haven't, I had Common Core on that list, and I think I bumped it off for something else, but Common Core is one of the most diabolical things to come along in a long time. It's still unclear to me who was for Common Core, except that I know the government made states take it by promising them all sorts of
money.
Yeah, money.
Yeah.
To build their parks and highways. Not highways, but parks.
Sure.
Why aren't they fixing the roads?
Yes, indeed. Why aren't they fixing the roads? I mean, supposedly that's why we pay taxes, but I'm sure that probably in every community you have empty malls. I mean, these little strip malls, a lot of the stores are vacant. Roads are falling apart.
In my town, there are multiple malls that are empty. It could be because our future won't include car travel. Like you hear a lot about this Agenda 21 stuff where they're building bike paths in cities and they want to convert everybody into a little small, what do they call them, mini apartments. They're supposed to build kind of like what the Chinese have.
Sure.
And people aren't going to have cars, or the majority of the population isn't going to have cars. So I guess maybe that's why they're not fixing the roads or the business.
Right. Right. And, of course, do you have a lot of shootings down in Florida?
Yeah, fair amount.
But as far as on the highway, lately here in the Chicago area, and I think also in L.A., there's a lot of highway shootings where people
Phoenix,
can be just driving along and
not that I have heard. But it could be something that will spread, and I guess it's suppose this is a new government occupation that they've
I kind of was wondering about that, seriously.
Firing people for probably is.
Yeah, although that actually happened to me several years ago. I was they shot out my back window, this has been quite a while ago, and it was within 3-4 miles of my home, in a good neighborhood, and although I'd been in a lot of bad neighborhoods in my professional days when I was selling textiles and whatnot. But, this happened within a short distance of my home, and somebody shot out the back window. I had a van at the time, and they never did find out who did it.
No, how could they?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Chicago, I thought there's a gun ban in Chicago, right?
Yes. You can't buy ammunition in Chicago. A lot of the people have to come out to the suburbs to buy ammunition, and they do have strict gun legislation in Chicago, but the gangs are always going to be able to have access to the guns. You know, criminals will always have access. It's just the people who are obedient to the law that will not have guns.
I've been thinking that whole question over myself because I don't have one, and I'd like to have one, but I don't want it to I don't want to register it, because if you register it, when they come around and they decide to collect all the guns, they'll come around and take you with it. So I guess I'm looking for a gun that I don't have to register, so the cops won't know I have it. But then if you have to use it and you don't have it registered, they'll throw you in jail for that.
Right.
So it's tough to know which way to go on that.
Sure. And of course, you have to have a permit to even buy one.
Yeah.
So right away, as soon as you get a permit, then. And of course, when you buy a gun, and I do have a gun. Oh, somebody said you don't have to register a gun in Florida, so you might be off the hook.
Oh, maybe I'll just go get one then.
Yeah. The best way of acquiring one is probably from a friend, an acquaintance, somewhere where you don't really have
I have an angle on that, and that's entirely possible. But your last statement reminded me of something that I wanted to tell you. And that is, I think one of the most impressive things I found out about you is the people who listen to your show always have the most intelligent questions. I've experienced that in the past, and now that I say that, I didn't mean it to be a segue, but is anybody calling?
Oh, yes. Hey, let's open the let's open the phone lines. Yes. Please phone in if you have a question or comment. And that number is 646-787-1915. Again, that number is 646-787-1915. Call in with your questions or comments. Pardon me?
Was that an email you got on that suggestion?
It was in the chat room,
I see. Yeah.
Which is spingola.chatango.com. And somebody said, Deanna has the smartest listeners, but we knew that, right, chatterers? Chatters? Yes, of course. They know they're smart.
Sure.
And of course, you can also email a question. Comment at spingola.com, and that brings up something talking about email. I have been just swamped with, other people have been swamped with mail from me because somebody has hacked into my email.
Yeah, I got a couple of them.
Yeah, well, everybody has, it seems,
yeah.
Including the president's office and just people like, and it's happened like three times. I've gone through my computer,
yeah.
I've scanned it for any malware or viruses or anything like that, but they've hacked in, and oh my gosh, I've tried every which way to counteract that.
I occasionally, in my email files, get emails from myself that are that are advertising some sort of product, and the email address is somewhere in Colombia or Sierra Leone or someplace like that.
Yes, yes.
So I don't really even blink hard at them anymore. There was a time when I would get all flustered by them, but I don't anymore.
Right. Mine are usually Spanish-oriented. They're always trying to sell me something. But, those I don't worry about those because I think they're just coming to me personally. But it's always whoever's hacking me. And I understand that and it goes back to that the tribe, that they are responsible for a lot of that.
Yeah, they are. They certainly have control of all the phones in the United States.
Sure.
So any kind of phone call you make, including on Skype, which I'm on, and of course Skype is now owned by Microsoft.
Yes, and they've changed it drastically since they bought it.
Yeah, it hasn't affected me too much. I just keep my fingers crossed that it keeps working, because it's
sure.
so much better than having to pay an arm and a leg for a real phone.
Oh, yeah, I like Skype. But it used to be that you could have a nice group call, and now you have to. They've made it almost impossible to work with Blog Talk, and even Blog Talk is different. I used to be able to call my guests, and now they say they want me to pay $100 more a month if I'm to call my guest. So they've made it very difficult for alternative people to work. Okay, again, the number is 646-787-1915. If you'd like to call in and weigh on this conversation, some people here. Go ahead.
Where is everybody?
We have people. Yes, where is everybody? Yes, where is everybody? BB, why don't you call in? You've always got a lot to say, and you're a big fan. Okay. Why don't we just run over your list? Somebody just asked about some of the things
list.
You did. The list,
profitable,
25.
Profitable
yeah.
bonanza for a few, terror nightmare for the many. 25, oh yeah, well, we all know that. Jews are the chosen people. They've chosen themselves to be an example of how human beings should not live.
Right. Yeah.
And well, again, going back to the statement by Joe Biden of saying that the contributions of the Jews have made America a much more wonderful country for freedom for homosexuals and all the other wonderful things they brought toward us. Really, that extends to almost every category of human endeavor, and the ones I think mostly of are art and music and drama and literature, where Jewish critics have proclaimed Jewish writers, they also do this with Jewish movie stars, Jewish critics proclaim Jewish writers and movie stars and musicians to be the most wonderful things that ever happened to the world, when in fact they're not. But the public, as it is bamboozled by all of these Jewish hired commentators who are on television telling you what's really going on in the world, but really lying about everything.
Totally
misled the public into accepting this Jewish mediocrity as excellence in whatever field you're talking about.
You know, there's a website that I go to. Let's see, it's Jew or Not Jew. And it is amazing that if you go to this website, visit this website, and type in a name, JewOrNotJew.com.
Uh-huh.
And they have a list of actors and models and athletes.
Oh, yeah.
And you just type in a name and you think, holy cow, I didn't know that person was Jewish. And then when you look at the group that you just mentioned, actors and actresses and whatnot,
yeah.
I mean, they're the people that get together and they award each other. It's like the Nobel Prizes,
right.
which are awarded by the same group of people, same tribe. Let me just copy paste that in the chat room. But yeah, it's amazing how many people are Jewish when you actually didn't know.
That's frightening. Actually, you could take that to, you could extend that to presidents. Now, how many presidents were Jewish? And there's really quite a number of them who were. Eisenhower. We tend to think of old Ike
Actually, that's not been proven. They called him the Swedish Jew, and when he was at West Point, they referred to him as the Swedish Jew.
Yeah.
But he really was supposedly German. I don't know how he accrued that name, but if you type in his name at JewOrNotJew.com, they will tell you that he wasn't. But did work for the Jews.
Let me tell you this about that. His brother, Milton Eisenhower, was president of the University of Pennsylvania and was openly Jewish. So there. Anyway, Harrison Ford was Jewish.
Oh, yes. I did know that, and I thought, oh, darn.
Robert De Niro?
Yeah. Robert De Niro? He's Italian.
Robert De Niro's mother was Jewish.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I know. That's the after you do 10 or 20 of these, I think, there's no escape, which there isn't. The Queen of England. Anyway,
and her daughter-in-law or her granddaughter-in-law.
the one I've had many letters about this, especially on Renegade, but also via email. And probably the one thing that people objected to most was number 21, the lie that marijuana is harmful. And people have written me and said, well, you know, once a doper, always a doper. And if you smoke marijuana, your brain is permanently affected. And I wrote back and I said, well, that's really not what I was getting at. What I was trying to get at was that doctors have said that the best vegetable you could possibly eat that's good for your health is marijuana. But who can afford the prices? But hemp oil grip is a major way to eliminate cancer. And the people who have chronic pain have definitely profited from the use of medical marijuana to get rid of that pain. So that's really what I meant about the lie that is told that marijuana is harmful because there are so many beneficial uses for it.
Sure. They criminalized it because they couldn't patent it because it's natural. And so they wanted to control it, of course. And and I've had Rick Simpson on my program a couple of times.
He
actually got tossed out of Canada. He had to leave Canada. I mean, he had actually helped a lot of the policemen that ultimately came and had to arrest him. Oh, somebody's on hold. Okay. Okay, we've got a caller.
Hey.
Okay. Let's we've got two actually. Okay. Let's take the one that's been on hold the longest. Okay. 971. I'll take 971.
Deanna?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. Hey, do you and John remember a Saturday Night Live skit a long time ago? Jew or not a Jew?
No.
No.
It was really funny. Anyway, I wanted to ask John about one of our favorite subjects, Sandy Hook. What do you think of that, John? Do you think it was a hoax?
Well, I think when that cop came out and said, you have to believe everything we tell you, and anybody who tells any other kind of story is going to be arrested. From that point on, I didn't believe a single thing they said. So everything that's happened since then has just been more of the same. I've heard a lot of theories about it. And the phrase crisis actors has become very prominent in conspiracy politics these days. And we've had numerous episodes since then. But I think the one that blew my mind the most was the television shooting in Virginia. That when I first saw it, I swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. And then I got all these other emails showing all these people in different situations where the thing couldn't have possibly been real. No, I think that it was
the point, though, do you think that children were killed at Sandy Hook? That's
personally,
because you can say it's a hoax. I mean, there's video manipulation on the media manipulation and all that, but, I mean, what's your definition of hoax then? I mean, were children killed?
Any parent whose child was killed nothing could prevent them from seeing the kids. And if they were prevented from seeing the kids, no children were killed.
So your answer is no children were killed.
Right.
Well, you know, I thought of a meme. I thought of a meme, and I want to post it on Facebook.
Sure.
Not all hoaxes, not all news events are hoaxes, and not all hoaxes make the evening news.
Right.
I mean, you have to look at every event. And Deanna's book, it's obvious you haven't read it, because if you had, you would understand that, yeah, a bunch of kids died. And it's just really, we need to look at every single event. If you're, or else don't look at anything and don't even pay any attention to what they tell us on the news and the media. Do one or the other, but, you know, they can manipulate any news footage, any media, and it gets up on the internet before, you know, and there's groups, and, well, you just have to read Deanna's book and listen to some of her programs on this. And anyway, that's all I have to say.
Okay, well, thank you for your
thank
call.
Thank you. I love the program, love the interview. I can barely hear John, though. I think it might be my audio on my PC.
Well,
but,
other people said that, too. I don't know what's going on.
Speak up there, John.
Okay.
Anyway. Thank
okay.
you. Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's take 788.
Hello? Deanna?
Yes. Well, I just did the first three of your – yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Hi, and fond greetings to your guest, Mr. Kaminsky. I mean, love reading his columns.
Aren't they wonderful?
They are. Especially, I wanted to especially compliment him on two that he's written this year called The First Jewish Lie, about how they were not slaves in Egypt, and his documentation. And the other one, which is really exciting, is Can a Gnostic Army Fix the World?
Oh, you like that one.
Oh, yeah. I've been following John Lamb Lash since.
Uh-huh.
And the whole Gnostic concept's kind of difficult to understand at this stage, but I particularly liked his idea of the Kalika War Party and how to eliminate these psychopaths that are careening us towards Armageddon and stuff. And, you have a mastery of the English language in the written form that is second to none, and I truly enjoy your columns.
Thank you very much.
And one last thing, you can buy. You don't need any special permit to buy a firearm in Florida. You just go in, and you just they make a 60-second phone call to the FBI background check, you know, that we all have to go through, and you can't have to wait 3 days to take possession of a handgun. But you can walk out the store with your long gun, and also Florida is an NFA Class 3 state, which, for those of you who don't know what that means, it means you can legally own automatic weapons and silencers and, you know, rocket-propelled grenades, if you want.
Whoa.
And stuff. So, Florida's ranked, like, in the top five states for gun owners in this country. So,
great.
I just want a handgun for when the zombies come through the front door.
Yeah, well, then I would suggest a multi-round 12-gauge shotgun.
Very good.
And you'd use number 4 buck, not double aught, because you don't want stuff going through the walls into your neighbor's place. So, but 12-gauge shotgun is definitely one of the most ideal home defense weapons that a person can have. So, anyway, thanks. Keep up the good writing, sir. I appreciate it. Bye bye.
Thank you.
Well, that was
all righty. Well, that was nice.
That. I didn't know that about Florida. I thought I had to jump through all these hoops.
Well, I think that the authorities like us to think that it's going to be very, very difficult. I mean, they use the same kind of thing at the airport. You know, make it really, really difficult for you to go anywhere. So you'll think, well, maybe we don't need to go. And I think that's what they do. They discourage us they discourage our freedoms in every which way they can.
Yes, they do. I definitely do. Let's see. What else is on this list?
Okay. Israel is America's friend.
Yeah, they sure
that
are.
That is a laugh.
Anybody who commits a crime in the United States and happens to be Jewish can go to Israel and can't be extradited.
Exactly.
So there are people like Doug Zakheim who steal $2.8 million or whatever it was from the department budget. And if anybody's looking for him, they can't find him because he's in Israel.
Right.
Which he was until he came back to the United States to be Mitt Romney's chief financial advisor.
Yeah, can you believe that?
That really threw me over the... That's when, I mean, I've had epiphanies about the Jews since the early 90s, and they've piled up to quite... They amount to a very large pile of crap. But when I saw that back in the whatever election Romney ran in, that Mitt Romney was his chief financial advisor, and every one of his advisors was a dual Israeli-American citizen, and contrasted with I guess he was running against Obama, right? No, he was running against,
He was
running against Obama. And all of Obama's advisors, with the exception of Valerie Jarrett, who's some political strike we don't really know, were dual Israeli-American citizens. And I thought, what I've always thought, or I've thought for a long time, that Cynthia McKinney was right, that you have to be really have to be a Jew or owned by the Jews to get anywhere politically in this country.
Oh, absolutely.
True.
And
not
that's
only
true.
Not only on the federal level, but really down to the local level.
Yes, that is absolutely true.
Right to the local level, because the Jews have infiltrated every, you know, they say Jews are 2% of the population.
Huh.
But they've infiltrated every city and town in the United States.
Yeah.
And they're somewhere, even in the, I went to a peace demonstration in Englewood, Florida, where I lived for 15 years. I live in another town now. But there was a peace demonstration going on the beach. And I went out to it one time, and the guy running it was a big, tall Jewish lawyer. And I didn't hang around too long. But they occupy all the slots on the political spectrum. And I used to think, back in the days when I was reading more New Age stuff, which was probably in the 90s, and I was, for a while, I was a big fan of Zechariah Sitchin, who was about the Anunnaki and how humans were created to mine gold for aliens in South Africa. And I thought to myself, the Jews control every aspect of political discourse. And most of them are wrong, but since they control 360 degrees of the debate, you have to have Jewish people out there who are actually telling the truth. And I thought that about Sitchin at the time, but it proved out to be wrong. But I didn't ditch the observation about the formula, because you have Jews who are very forthright about what... About the crimes the Jews are committing and the crimes they have committed. And there aren't too many of them, but I know one who lives in New Zealand, I think. His name is Paul Eisen, who's very forthright about the Jewish Holocaust.
Exactly.
And the Hola hoax. And there are a couple of others. There aren't too many. And there are many more Jews who pretend to be... liberated from their poisonous dogma, but really aren't, and they tell half the truth. Like one of those would be Norman Finkelstein.
Finkelstein, definitely. What about Gilad Osman?
Gilad Osman would be another one. But about Finkelstein, I was going to say he's ready and willing to talk about the scams that Jews have produced in getting Holocaust reparations in the tune of, what is it, $20 billion from people who claim to be survivors or relatives of survivors. And now the latest variation on that scam is some grandchild wanted reparations because he was traumatized by his grandparents talking about how bad things were in the concentration camp. So he's entitled to a little more cash from the Goyim. It never stops. And there are a couple of other writers that at times are willing to. What's that fellow's name? God, I can't remember his name now. He used to be a friend of Gerald Brett Smith. No, I'm not terribly impressed by Ottman.
Okay.
I never heard of him. I can't remember his name. He sort of faded from the scene. He was hooked up with Daryl Bradford Smith for a while.
I can't think of his name either.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him in a while. And then I used to like Max Blumenthal, but Max becomes, he pretends to be horrified by what Jews are doing in Palestine, but then, you know, joins in with the chorus about how Israel has to be protected.
Israel has to be protected.
Israel doesn't belong where it is. Israel
no.
doesn't belong where, except maybe in Birabijan, which is that Russian area.
Birabijan, yeah.
Yeah, in eastern Siberia. And it would be wonderful if they were all put there and a giant wall was put up around the place, just like they put up in Palestine to keep them from getting out, because they certainly need to be separated from human society, because, and I don't think they could exist, because they exist by preying on other people, by preying on human society. They don't do any of the labor. They just charge interest on everything and lend money at exorbitant interest rates. I was reading the history of Jews in England, and back in the day when they got themselves banned in the 12th century, they were charging 100% on their loans. When you borrowed something, and if you didn't pay them right back, then they took your property, which is still kind of what they do today with this fractional reserve lending scheme.
Sure.
If you don't pay off the loan right on time, the interest will never disappear, and it will keep growing until you can't afford it. And that's the situation the world is in now, where we've got, thanks to derivatives, which was, if I understood more about financial matters, I probably would have called that the greatest scam ever perpetrated by the Jews. But that has multiplied the debt to be paid to, 12 times the gross domestic product of the entire world?
Yes, yes.
So the debt can't be paid. So the Jews don't even have to lend any more money, and they're going to receive interest payments on everything forever.
Right.
So this is totalitarianism, and people have to figure it out and not stand for it and take radical action to prevent them from causing any further damage.
Sure.
As I said, go ahead. I know you're trying to say something.
Well, I wanted to look at some of your other statements here.
Okay.
Russia invaded Ukraine. White people are evil. There is strength and diversity. We've covered that. U.S. elections are not fixed. U.S. Constitution still in force. Huh. I mean, I don't think it was ever in force. It was in force for the elite.
Yeah, that's right.
It was written by the elite, for the elite, for the benefit of the elite, and which is something that I covered in my first book. Free press. Homosexuals don't molest children. We talked about that a little bit.
Now you've opened it up. There are male to male people who have been married, thanks to the court order saying homosexual marriages, same-sex marriage is legal.
Mm-hmm.
Who, and I'm sure, I don't know anybody personally, but I'm sure this is happening because I know how homosexuals behave somewhat from, not that I've had much contact with them, but I did live in San Francisco and used to have to walk through the Castro on occasion. They adopt children in order to create a homosexual, and they tamper with them at an early age, just like the Jewish rabbis do, just like the Catholic priests do.
Yikes.
So they do molest. That's what they do. That's what they do. I ever tell you a story about me and Allen Ginsberg?
The so-called
famous poet. I was doing a newspaper, running a newspaper in New Hampshire, and he was coming to read poetry in Brattleboro. And all the time he was there, all he was interested in was scoring with Brattleboro High School students.
Really?
This was one of America's most, he was promoted by Jewish reviewers, of course. I mean,
sure.
His poetry is nothing to write home about. But he was famous because of his Jewish critics said he was great. So they do molest children. That's what they do. Because they want
sure.
him to convert. They have homosexuals have 1,000 sexual partners in their lifetime.
They have what?
I have 1,000 sexual partners in their lifetime.
Holy cow. Now, where did you get that figure?
Oh, that's a pretty common knowledge. I imagine I could find a link to it if you really needed one.
No, that's okay. I believe you. The thing about homosexuality, okay. They seem to be of the opinion that because they are homosexual, that they can just be immoral.
Right.
Just because a person has certain propensities doesn't mean that they should act upon them. I mean, we're all sexual beings, but certainly the thought of having 1,000 partners,
sure.
I mean, is...
It's a different one every night. You know, in the San Francisco bar scene, it's a different one every night. For years and years, and then they wonder why they get sick.
Yikes.
And then,
well,
and then 28, the one that comes after that, is pedophilia is a lifestyle choice, which has not reached fruition yet, but there are a lot of Jewish professors advocating that it become the law of the land. And if it follows the same pattern that homosexuality did, where the American Psychiatric Association eventually changed its opinion of it from a behavioral illness to a lifestyle choice, it's going to happen. I mean, because there are a lot of so-called educators advocating for it. And then that seems to me to be the last nail in the coffin of the American family. Because when you can't, when you're betrayed sexually by your parents, you have nowhere else to turn but the state, and the state is only too glad to take care of you with its Jewish psychiatrists and communist tenets.
Well, in the early 1970s, activists opposed the American Psychiatric Association's listing of homosexuality as a mental disorder and wanted scientific evidence to prove that it was a disease. And so they changed it. As you say, they changed it. And now, of course... Well, one of the top, I can't think of his name right off, but he is one of the leaders of the APA is in fact a homosexual.
Yeah.
But I can't think of his name. But I have it in my book. If I write something down, I don't need to remember it. But I do have it in my book, and they changed it because. If they had to prove that something was actually a disease, then they would have to prove that all the other things in their DSM is also scientific, which they couldn't do. So they had to alter that.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, I think the damage has been incalculable. And I say that it's like I don't really resent people who have homosexual relationships. It's okay by me. I mean, there have been homosexuals who have made great contributions to society. But I don't think it should be advocated. I don't think it should be publicized. I don't think it should be taught.
Or have gay parades. And all
children,
of a sudden...
Children in the first grade should not be knowing about this because they don't have any real thoughts about sex until they're older than that.
Right.
They shouldn't be indoctrinated in the first grade to actually predispose them to homosexuality. And then you get back to the Jewish circumcision ritual, which creates a predisposition in the mind to have some fascination with a male performing oral sex on you. I'm sure that has something to do with the preponderance of Jewish homosexuals.
Sure. Oh, I think so too. Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody in the chat room said that John Maynard Keynes was a homosexual. Keynes was a homosexual. Mm-hmm.
There's had a number of homosexual presidents besides Barack Obama and George W. Bush.
Yeah.
James Buchanan was the first one. Yeah. And then there was, of course, Richard Nixon had his friend B.B. Rebozo.
I thought they were just really good friends.
Yeah, they were really good friends.
How about Chief Justice John Roberts? He's supposed to be a homo. That's what somebody knows.
I've heard stories that he goes to that club in Washington with Karl Rove.
Whoa. Well, I think there's a lot of things like that going on in Chicago. I mean, our dual citizen mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, is apparently... Is what?
The bathhouse incident.
Yes, yes. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So. Yes, and these gay parades. I mean, as you mentioned... Certainly. We don't have parades about just being regular. Why do they have to have parades? And the way they dress is obscene. I mean, just and the way they act, oh, my gosh. And you have politicians, the New York governor, or no, it was the mayor. The mayor of New York he participated in the gay parade there. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. All these politicians are just encouraging this kind of behavior. What is going on here?
Well, I think when you hear the testimony of childhood movie stars,
oh yes,
and what they had to do to become famous, I think the same thing pertains in politics, where if you submit to the affections of power brokers, then you're going to be promoted by them. And this is very similar to submitting to the whims of Jewish power brokers. And in fact, the two are so similar as to be almost the same thing, since most of the Hollywood moguls who are practicing this kind of behavior are Jewish. And behaving in this way. I think this is part of the Jewish complex of perversions that determine who gets to run for public office and who is excluded because they're too straight.
Mm-hmm. Well, look at the story of Marilyn Monroe. And I mean, I've read her story, and she certainly was very open about what she had to do.
I know it. That's so sad.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Cost her a life, eventually.
And what do you think of the Pope's recent visit? We just have about a minute to go. What do you think of his recent visit?
Well, on a superficial level, I liked it because it meant I wasn't getting mayhem and disasters on the television, and I was watching Catholic Mass instead, which I like the music of anyway, even if I disagree with the substance of it. You know, from all I hear, he's like the New World Order Pope. Back a few months ago, there was a false rumor coming out of Snopes, I think it was, where he created the 11th commandment to say that homosexuality was okay, but I've never seen that verified anywhere.
Right.
But I believe he has said in conversations that homosexuals are God's people, too, and the church should have come. So that's basically getting rid of the proscription against it.
Exactly. John, we have about 30 seconds. So I want to be sure.
Thank you very much, Deanna, for talking to me. It's always a pleasure.
Well, it's always my pleasure. It's an honor to talk to you. And people may find your articles at renegadetribune.com/author/Kaminsky, yes. And the name is spelled K-A-M-I-N-S-K-I. So thank you so very much for being on the program.
Send me a link, if you would, so I can send it around to my list.
I will. I will. I'll do that. Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye, listeners.
Thanks, Eva.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye-bye, John.
Bye.